against the enemy's attempts to frustrate people and lower the turnout in the presidential election. Iran says, quote, the U.S. must return fully to its JCPOA obligations and cease trying to use unlawful economic war against Iran as negotiating leverage. Also ahead, the number of Palestinians injured by Israeli forces during their latest protests in the occupied West Bank soars to 293. Thank you for joining us. Now, the leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution has warned against the enemy's attempts to create rifts between the Iranian people and the Islamic establishment. Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei was addressing the nation on the 32nd anniversary of the passing away of Iran's Islamic Republic's founder, Imam Khomeini. Ayatollah Khamenei highlighted the significance of elections in Iran. He stressed that Imam Khomeini viewed elections as the manifestation of people's will and stood firm against hegemony and corruption. Ayatollah Khamenei also referred to the upcoming presidential vote. He said existing shortcomings should not discourage people from having political participation. The leader also recommended that people consider deeds rather than words of the presidential hopefuls, and urged the candidates to avoid making hollow promises. He urged influential figures to encourage people to participate in the election. Iran's foreign minister urges the United States to stop using economic war as leverage in negotiations held to salvage the 2015 nuclear deal. Mohammad Javad Zarif made the call in a telephone conversation with his British counterpart. He also stressed that Washington must fully return to its obligations under the nuclear accord, known as the JCPOA. Zarif said he and British Foreign Minister Dominic Raab have agreed on the necessity of resuming full compliance with the nuclear deal. The U.S. unilaterally pulled out of the deal in 2018 and reimposed sanctions on Iran, prompting remedial commitment cuts from Tehran. Iran and the remaining signatories are now engaged in talks to revive the accord. Iran has repeatedly emphasized that Washington has to take the first step by removing all the sanctions in a verifiable manner. Although the United States has toned down its anti-Iran rhetoric in recent months, Washington still makes sure all sanctions against Tehran are enforced. A case in point was the recent seizure of an oil tanker believed to be carrying Iranian crude.
Commodities traders in the United States came across something surprising last week when the U.S. Energy Information Agency released its new figures. The EIA figures included Iranian crude oil for the first time in decades. The government statistics and court documents show the U.S. has sold about 2 million barrels of Iranian crude after seizing an oil tanker off the coasts of the United Arab Emirates. American authorities say they brought the Liberian-flagged tanker Achilles to Houston, Texas in March. It was ordered to discharge its cargo at the port of Galveston. The crude from the oil vessel, which the U.S. says was transporting Iranian oil, was then sold for $110 million. American officials say the tanker was covertly transporting the cargo to China in violation of U.S. sanctions against Iran over its nuclear program. U.S. court documents also allege the vessel was subject to forfeiture under American anti-terrorism statutes. Some observers have described the seizure as illegal under international law and argue that it amounts to piracy.
I mean, it's piracy, it's theft. It's amazing that the United States can appropriate to itself the right to do such things. This is exceeds even, you know, the Roman Empire. And the Roman Empire was a cruel empire within its boundaries, but it couldn't go outside of its boundaries and tell the rest of the world what to do.
Anti-Iran hawk former U.S. President Donald Trump has been gone for months now. But the United States has kept up its anti-Iran policies under Democratic President Joe Biden.
The United States has imposed many rounds of sanctions against Iran. Many of these anti-Iran measures were imposed by former U.S. President Donald Trump, who was very close to the sworn enemy of Iran, Israel. Before coming into office, his successor pledged to change course regarding Iran, but that pledge remains to be fulfilled.
The recent seizure of the oil tanker was a stark reminder that America's anti-Iran measures are not ending. Many such measures were reimposed by former U.S. President Donald Trump, who abandoned the hard-earned 2015 Iran nuclear deal. His successor, Joe Biden, says sanctions are not exactly his favorite, but the anti-Iran measures are being fully enforced under his watch. The Islamic Republic's oil shipping and banking are among the sectors targeted by America's unilateral sanctions. Iran has repeatedly described America's measures as economic war. The American sanction mechanism has made it extremely difficult for Iran to purchase some essential goods like medicines. The American president promised a shift in U.S. policy on Iran, but he has so far failed to fulfill his pledge to change course.
As far as its foreign policy goes, this is truly the neocon foreign policy. These are the actors from the Obama administration, people who had key roles when Hillary Clinton was the Secretary of State, like Campbell and Sullivan, people who are now in these critical positions inside the administration, and Samantha Power at AID, and so on and so forth, who really were able to impose the most terrible sanctions on Iran.
The United States and Iran say they are willing to return to the 2015 nuclear deal, known as the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action. Iran and the remaining parties to the deal, namely Russia, China, Britain, France, and Germany, have held several rounds of talks in Vienna aimed at restoring the half-dead nuclear deal. Diplomats from the United States have been present in Vienna and talking with their P4+1 counterparts. There have been some signs of progress in Vienna, raising hopes for a revival of the international nuclear agreement. But critics believe that even if the U.S. returns to the deal, past experience shows that there is no guarantee that the U.S. will honor its commitments in the future.
Israeli forces have injured nearly 300 Palestinians during anti-settlement protests in the north of the occupied West Bank. The Palestinian Red Crescent Society says 26 people were hit by live rounds in the village of Beita and Beit Zejan, both near the city of Nablus. The Israeli military also reportedly used drones to disseminate poisonous gas during the protest. The Palestinians were protesting against the construction of a new settlement outpost on top of the Sabah mountain. Israeli forces also injured at least 25 Palestinians in the Sinwar neighborhood of occupied East Jerusalem, Al-Quds. Also, Israeli forces attacked and dispersed people taking part in a marathon. The race was aimed at raising awareness about dozens of Palestinian families facing eviction in Sinwar and the Sheikh Jarrah neighborhoods. Political commentator Kevin Barrett says Israeli forces have been brutalizing Palestinian protesters with impunity for decades.
And it hardly ever gets covered in the Western mainstream media. Palestinians have been mostly peacefully protesting for just asking for the same rights as the squatters and invaders who came and stole their land. This has been going on for decades. And the response to the protests is typically the Israelis put them down violently, off often with live rounds and actually murdering and deliberately crippling huge numbers of peaceful protesters. Just 3 years ago, in spring of 2018, the Great March of Return protests, which were peaceful protests of large numbers of Palestinians approaching the apartheid border walls, were met with massive live fire. I think over 300 were killed and 18,000 injured, including thousands of children. Many of them were deliberately shot in the kneecaps and permanently crippled. Israeli soldiers bragged about the record for one of them getting something like, I think it was 48 knees in one day. That's the big front page headline in Haaretz. So this brutal reaction to peaceful protests like marathons, people trying to run a marathon and then get shot at and attacked and beat up and gassed and so on. This just goes to show what's really happening in occupied Palestine, which is a slow motion genocide.
Tony Gosselin, now Canada has criticized the Catholic Church for ignoring its role in running many of the country's residential schools for indigenous children.
When I went to the Vatican a number of years ago, I directly asked His Holiness Pope Francis to move forward on apologizing, on asking for forgiveness, on restitution, on making these records available, and we're still seeing resistance from the church, possibly from the church in Canada. I think it's going to be a really important moment for all of us, particularly Catholics.
And Justin Trudeau expressed deep disappointment at the position adopted by the Catholic Church now and over the past many years. Last week, a mass grave containing the remains of 215 children was found at a former residential school in British Columbia. The school was operated by the Catholic Church on behalf of the government from 1890 to 1969. An indigenous chief has reacted to the discovery of the mass grave.
When we look at, you know, systemic racism, discrimination, you know, it all stems from, you know, those truths being hidden, swept under the carpet. You know, today we just want to make sure that our future generations are taken care of. We want to make sure that our children do not have to live those types of situations and ugly histories.
The school was one of the many boarding schools set up a century ago to forcibly assimilate Canada's indigenous population. According to a recent probe, some 150,000 indigenous youngsters in the total were enrolled in the 139 residential schools. The probe found that the students were physically and sexually abused by headmasters and teachers who stripped them of their culture and language. The report said more than 4,000 children died while attending those schools. Political commentator Robert Fantina says Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau's indignation that is at the Catholic Church is hypocritical and he is attempting to deflect attention away from the Canadian government.
He is attempting to deflect attention from the Canadian government. At times the Canadian government has issued some apologies, but an apology is really worthless. The Trudeau government, like its predecessor, the Harper government, has spent millions and millions of dollars opposing or trying to delay Canadian obligations to First Nations peoples. So this righteous indignation against the Catholic Church that he is now demonstrating is simply hypocrisy. It's simply an attempt to deflect from the government that the responsibility of the government that he represents, which is complicit in these horrific crimes, this genocide that took place under government auspices for well over 100 years.
An influential archbishop in the German city of Munich has offered to resign over the church's sexual abuse scandals. Cardinal Reinhard Marx says the Catholic establishment has reached a dead point. Cardinal Marx, in a letter to the Pope, said he had to share responsibility for the quote, catastrophe of sexual abuse by church officials. He added that in investigations in recent years revealed a lot of personal failure and administrative mistakes, but also institutional or systematic failure in relation to child sex abuse. Marx's offer has yet to be accepted by Pope Francis. In 2018, a study commissioned by the Church itself found that nearly 3,700 children in Germany had been sexually assaulted by priests between 1946 and 2014. Only a third of the alleged perpetrators were prosecuted, with most facing only minor disciplinary procedures. The White House Press Secretary takes a swipe at former US President Donald Trump after Facebook decided to extend his ban until 2023.
I think as we look at it, we learned a lot from President Trump, the former president, over the last couple of years about his behavior and how he uses these platforms. It feels pretty unlikely that the zebra is going to change his stripes over the next 2 years. To crack down on false information, whether it's about the election.
Jen Psaki said
social
media companies have a responsibility to crack down on misinformation about issues including politics and vaccination. She made the comments after Facebook announced its updated policy, saying it no longer allows politicians to spread false or abusive content on the platform. Trump was booted off social media after his followers stormed Capitol Hill on January the 6th. He was accused of inciting violence after the deadly incident, but survived an impeachment trial. He protested the results of the 2020 presidential election and still maintains that his votes were stolen by the Democrats. That brings an end to our bulletin for this hour. Thank you for staying tuned.
Follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/parstodayen. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/parstodayenglish. Imam Khomeini, Perpetual Reality. In the name of God, Salam and welcome to the program. 32 years have passed since the passing away of the great founder of the Islamic Revolution, Imam Khomeini, God's mercy upon him. Some would think that through the lapse of time, the Imam's memory would lose importance and be cast into oblivion. But the developments in the world have increasingly revived his memory and his path among masses in different parts of the world. Human beings thought that the ups and downs of the 20th century would end in prosperity, freedom, and peace in the 21st century, but despotism, supremacy, excessive demands of arrogant powers, and oppressive regimes in the world have deprived mankind of these blessings. It is here that the call of Imam Khomeini reverberates in the collective mind of mankind when he said that the only way of salvation is to return to the teachings of the divine messengers, namely Abraham, Moses, Jesus, and Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. In view of Imam Khomeini, the gravest crimes of human history originated in ambition and love of position and power. Imam Khomeini's way and life was unique. From the time of youth, his education and spiritual and intellectual characteristics were quite different from political leaders. He started a very simple life in tough conditions. He was engaged in self-building and self-purification since his adolescence. He spent several decades of his life in education and research. The Imam was not a member of any political party, yet he was the most political religious figure of the modern era. He called on the godly nature human beings and invited them to struggle for determining their fate. He used to address nations and believed that if the great developments take place by nations, they will be invincible. If the dormant souls are awaked, they will stage revolution and will dismantle injustice and oppression. Imam Khomeini never thought of his vested interest. What caused him to rise up against the status quo was the absolute submission of Pahlavi regime to the West and the dominance of the Western culture on every aspect of the Iranian society. The dominant thought, even among many ulema and university professors, was that religion and Islam in particular is separate from politics and ruling. They thought that Islam is restricted to personal worships and rituals and has nothing to do with political and social affairs. Imam Khomeini believed that this dangerous thought has been promoted after the Prophet's passing away. He said, "This was a devilish scheme that has been designed since the Umayyad and Abbasid eras. And after that too, every government that has come to power has confirmed this matter. And as the East and the West have found their way into the Islamic states, this issue has been rampant that Islam is a personal matter between the servant and God, and politics is separate from Islam. And a Muslim shouldn't interfere in politics, and ulema shouldn't enter politics." Imam Khomeini also said, "In the advent of Islam, politics and religion were intermingled." Elsewhere in his remarks, he said, "The slogan of politics is separate from religion is a colonialist propaganda which wants to prevent Muslim nations from interfering in their own fate." The reason why human masses and people from different walks of life welcomed Imam Khomeini's words is that he addressed the godly nature of people. He never tried to be the mouthpiece of a race, ethnicity, nation, or group. His discourse was that of a God-seeking person who was after sublimity and salvation of the whole mankind. He spoke plainly with the language of the oppressed and downtrodden strata. Imam Khomeini's inexhaustible fight against injustice, his firm perseverance against tyranny and excessive demands of big powers, his intransigence before oppressors, and his respect for human dignity were the outstanding features of his discourse. The Imam, in order to establish a religious government and return religion to the political scene, created the belief that the Islamic laws have natural and executive value in every place and time. Because they have been designed on the basis of human nature, and the human nature is unchangeable in every time and place. It is similar to the love of mother to her child, which will never change throughout history. Imam Khomeini, as the wakeful thought of the Islamic Ummah, was a religious scholar. He was a prominent jurisprudent and a brave leader. He staged the greatest revolution in the modern era and founded a religious state based on the teachings of Islam. This state is called the Islamic Republic of Iran and is well known everywhere in the world, although the U.S., as the symbol of global arrogance and its equally corrupt ally, the Zionist regime of Israel, have done their utmost to extinguish this beacon of freedom and dignity in the world. Imam Khomeini raised the issue of dignity and Muslims and empowerment of the oppressed and downtrodden in the world. Following the footsteps of Imam Khomeini in the fight against oppressors and domineering system has opened a new path ahead of the nations. This path will lead to the reappearance of the savior of mankind, Imam Mahdi. Imam Khomeini said about this, "Almighty God has promised to make the oppressed dominant over the oppressors and make them the leader. Almighty God's promise is near. I hope that we will witness the materialization of this promise and the oppressed will overcome the oppressors." Dear listeners, now 32 years after the departure of Imam Khomeini from this world, it is quite clear that the Islamic Revolution has not resulted in just dismantling of a despotic regime. Today, the political literature in the world and officials of various countries speak of the impacts of the Islamic Revolution on the global equations and the challenges that this revolution has caused in the political, cultural, social, and economic spheres. The revival of religious identity and dignity of Muslims in the world and the emergence of the signs of formation of the glorious Islamic civilization are the practical outcome of the Islamic Revolution. Imam Khomeini is a perpetual reality that continuation of his path will grant freedom, independence, dignity, and salvation to mankind.
Food for thought.
Salam, and today, on the 57th anniversary of historic 15th of Khordad uprising, launched by the father of the Islamic Revolution, Imam Khomeini, may God bless his soul steady run of domestic despotism and foreign hegemony, here is a prophecy from the Prophet's seventh infallible heir, Imam Musa Kazem, peace upon him, that some believe is a pointer to the events in Iran. A man from Qom will rise and invite people towards truth. Around him will gather people like slabs of iron, who will not be shaken by strong winds and storms, and will neither get tired of war, nor will they back down, and they have trust in Allah. The outcome is for the pious.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio. This man changed the world.
Allahu Akbar, Khomeini Rahbar. Allahu Akbar, Khomeini Rahbar.
Our bosses couldn't cope with the idea of an 80-year-old Ayatollah, which they didn't even know what an Ayatollah was, who lived on garlic and onions and yogurt, directing a revolution that was about to topple America's most important ally.
Shuma dar in gharn mojiza kardi. ملت ایران ملت معجزه آسای قرن است.
الله اکبر خمینی رهبر. الله اکبر خمینی رهبر. الله اکبر خمینی.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم. In the name of Allah, the exalted, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Salam, hello and welcome to our audience, and particularly a warm welcome to our listeners of our program, A Man Who Changed the World, and of course, as I say, who changed all our tomorrows. The program is dedicated to the great soul of Imam Khomeini, may God be pleased with him. And of course, we have been discussing in the last three programs different aspects of his personality. We've been looking at the sources as to what formed those characteristics, those virtues in this great personality, and how he has shaped not only the events, the historic and epic events in what happened in the Islamic Republic and the formation of the Islamic Republic. Of course, these are separate issues that need to be discussed later on at length as to the actual events of what of the Islamic Revolution that took place here. But of course, Imam himself said that this is an Islamic revolution. An Islamic revolution means that this is a complete reformation of our understanding of not only the religion of Islam, but our understanding of God. And it was not only for Muslims, but it was for non-Muslims as well, and for the people of the book. And we are going to look into aspects in this program about the Imam, which defined his divine characteristics. And, you know, we've discussed with our guest, Dr. Hassani, on this program about simplicity, virtues of honesty, and looking at purity of intention and will and determination. And we also talked about this divine courage which stems from faith. So, first of all, I'd like to welcome Dr. Hosni again to the program to help me discuss these wonderful attributes of the Imam.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, great. Thank you. Thank you for being on the program. Dr. Hosni, take us a little bit further now on this aspect of purity of intention, sincerity, something I think lacking, something that's pretty much lacking in most Muslim societies, this concept of sincerity. I mean, there's a big aspect to this, and you could see that sincerity in the Imam, in Imam Khomeini, may God bless his soul, immediately. I mean, it was not something that, you know, you needed to, as in the words of this journalist who wrote this book, My Beautiful Experience, I'm talking about this man, Robin Woodrose, he says that, you know, I came to, like most journalists do, they came to our country to find out who's the leader and to do a bit of research on the man to find out what is his weaknesses, what are his strengths, what are his characteristics. But he says, I didn't need to do any of that. I just looked at him and my questions were answered. Is that the purity of sincerity?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Good subject. We need to think about the game and try to talk about it as simple as
we
possible.
Can. Yeah. Without clouding the issue.
Right.
Yeah.
On the issue of purity of intention, again, goes back to the definition. If you know who you are, if you know your limit, I should put it this way. If you know your limit, that the real source belongs to him.
Right.
It comes from him. And let's not forget, it goes back to him.
Yes.
If you pollute the source, okay, the pollution has a price to pay back. This is what, when you talk about sin here.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, this is only beginning. Purity of intention, you know to have your limit, who happens to be your creator, God Almighty. We talked about this before.
Sure.
But we're trying to get some other points at
the
same time.
Yes, yes.
If you know your limit, then you think about, you should think about the source. Source is pure. What does it mean? It means when his knowledge, let's get serious about this and simple at the same time.
Sure.
The creator knows what he created, what kind of capacity, what kind of feelings, what kind of different dimensions of the being he created.
Yes.
Therefore, he has a prescription, a true one, a right one for every single different situation.
Yes.
It's just like, you know, sometimes I think about life as a conditional statement. I have to explain what I mean by
that.
Yeah,
please do. Please.
You know, think about a keyboard on a computer.
Yeah.
Every button you touch, something will happen. If you touch delete, what happens?
Well,
it deletes.
Yeah, deletes.
All the information is gone.
All the information is gone.
Can you bring it back?
No, you can't.
No, you can't.
You can't.
It's gone.
It's gone.
This is what I mean by polluting. If you don't know the action of one particular button, what would you do? What are you supposed to do? You should ask.
Yeah.
You should read the manual.
Exactly. The manual that we
the manual that we were talking
about.
Remember,
the last
said
program.
Quran is a manual, a complete one. A complete manual for all human beings for their own direction.
For their perfection.
For their perfection.
And salvation.
And salvation.
Yeah.
Which we call guidance.
Yes, yes.
The guidance of Allah comes through, it's written within the manual, which is Quran.
Yes.
Purity of intention, it means that you are limited. Therefore, you cannot do things that later on you're going to face difficulties.
Yes.
When you are not pure, with your, when you don't think about purity in this sense, you're going to lie.
Yes. And it's easy for you.
And it's very easy at the time.
Yeah.
It seems like, you know, with the least cost,
yes,
with the least expenses,
yes,
you can get away with it.
Now, let me throw in something into the works here, because what we are talking about here is something very, very significant about the Imam's personality. And what I want to get to is this. You just mentioned the fact that if you're coming from a polluted source, it's very easy to lie. And wasn't politics...
And you know,
please let me finish this point. The politicians of the West, because they're coming from a polluted source, in other words, they're taking their politics from Machiavelli, the source being the concepts of politics or the understanding of the science of politics.
And when you can justify everything.
And justify everything, even though you're lying.
And you know it, you're lying.
And you know you're lying, and you're caught. This is what happens to these politicians, isn't it?
You get caught red-handed.
Yeah, you get these scandals, don't you, that, you know, after a certain period in power, whatever speech they've said at that particular time, some journalist who has done his research finds out that you said something quite the contrary to
and
that.
They bring it out.
And they bring it out.
On the check and balance system.
Right. And that they're caught, and then the reputation goes out of the window.
Which
then
they don't care.
Which, yeah,
they
exactly. They're shameless. That's true. That's another issue. But what I'm coming to about the Imam is, and certainly what Imam Khomeini, may God bless his great soul, which we were discussing because he's coming from a pure source.
The reason I say they don't care, because the next subject we're going to talk about, you should ask me about the sincerity.
Yes, yes.
There's a connection between sincerity and purity.
We've introduced the idea, right. But because of the purity of his intention, and we want to go into the fact that he was practicing this purity of intention through his five-time prayer, because it's been recorded that he never, ever missed his prayer on time. Because remember, he points this out to us.
Mm-hmm.
He says that to us over and over again, do this on time. Because this qualifies you to come into that scope of sincerity, simplicity, honesty, and purity of intention. Because it shows that you have complete faith and love to do something for your Creator as he's asked you to obey him. But at the end of the day, Imam Khomeini was, may God bless his soul, never changed his argument, even before he wasn't known as Imam, and even after the revolution.
It wasn't even debatable for him.
It wasn't debatable. Why
it
was it? Why was it that the people in Washington and Moscow were so certain and so afraid that whatever the Imam says now, that's it. That's final. Doesn't that come out of purity
Brother,
of intention?
Brother, in the ecosystem of life, I should call it, in the ecosystem of life, if you're polluting your surroundings, you're not going to survive.
No, you won't.
As simple as that.
Yeah. But this is why he stands the test.
That's why he cared about his time of praying and everything else.
Yes. Because what I'm saying is,
but
as
you think, if you think about this in a different way, sooner or later you're going to find some particular instance that it might be questionable for you. Like Imam did something. You cannot reason it in your own mind. There's nobody to ask about it, okay? Then it becomes a contradiction with beliefs, because we talk about beliefs here now.
Yes, quite.
I don't know if I made my point.
No, you have. Made your point, yes.
If in the ecosystem of life, you know you are pure. You're in the fountain of purity, okay? This is the word, this is actually the philosophy behind Salawat. The salutation of God upon his holy prophet.
Yes.
Which we do. Something we cannot do. Only we ask
God
to do
to
so.
Do for us.
Allahumma salli.
Yes.
It means we are not able.
We're not
you
able.
You do it for us.
You do it
with
for
with the
us.
Help of you, we get, brother, with the help of God, we get under that purified fountain of mercy.
Quite.
This is the beauty of understanding of Quranic and Islamic teaching, which is one thing. Okay? Purity of intention. Because of that, he always knows where he's coming from. Again, back to this is not tradition that you forget and you cannot applicate different situation to it. No, it is applicable. One particular understanding, true understanding of Quranic teaching can take you forever.
Exactly.
From A to B.
Exactly.
To the completion and also to the right destination without any damage.
Imam Khomeini, as we are saying right now, God bless his soul, this sincerity of intention brings him to the point of truth. And it is truth that he wants to get across
and
to the people.
And it is truth and truthness that can take you to the sincerity.
Exactly.
When you do care, this is the only way.
Well, what I wanted to get to was the fact that this truth is not something new in terms of the fact of what, may God bless his great soul, what he did. But because he's coming from the household of those who are known as the truth. Because I want to take people back.
That is important. Yes.
Yeah, I want to take people back to that point where the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, had to get his message, the truth of his prophethood across to the people of the book. Now, let's put this in context here. Let's face it. Washington, and Moscow, although Moscow was following an atheistic ism called communism.
All the isms.
Whatever. Mm-hmm. But basically, they come from the tradition of being followers of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
They are the people of the book.
They're supposed to be.
Yeah. Now, I want to take that back to this mobala, this challenge, this mutual cursing, they call it in
Arabic. Argument, yes.
Yeah. This is a very important because this was where this purity of intention must work.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, the whole message is going to fail.
It's gone.
The people at that time, the Christians of that time, doubted the prophethood of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. They doubted this revelation that was coming. As far as they were concerned, Jesus was the final prophet.
Mm-hmm.
This was something that was like an aberration. The Holy Prophet The Holy Prophet says to the people of Medina,
mm-hmm,
that this is a day on which only the truthful will go forward.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have to ask and pray to Allah that if the whichever party is telling the lies or is being false or coming from a contaminated source, as we are talking about, remove them from this earth. But we all know what happened in the end. But at the same time, this is where the imam's function is so important, that the tradition, the source that he's coming from, in which this purity of intention and truth has to be reflected to those,
mm-hmm,
who still cast doubt and dispersion on Islam. So, isn't that important in terms
Brother, on the issue of purity of intention and sincerity, they go together again.
Yes.
Just like horse and carriage.
Yes.
I give you another example with regard to this important thing. You are in a caravan. You're traveling.
Yes.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You need a guide. You are going to, from A to B.
Yeah.
You are going to get to the destination.
Yeah. You need a map.
Without being robbed, without being killed,
yes,
murdered on the way,
yeah,
you need a guide, as a caravan leader, okay, to take you to destination.
Yeah.
Let's suppose, which is a correct one, in this assumption, on this assumption, the assumption is this: from A to B, okay, it's a long way, from here to hereafter.
Yes.
It's a long way. It's so many different stops.
Yeah.
So many different stop points. Stations, I should say.
Sure.
A guide can take you, let's say his limit, his life is limit.
Mm.
Okay?
Mm.
Let's say this long distance journey, trip, whatever.
Mm.
The guide can take you from A in order to get you to the B. There is some other small points and a station on the way. He takes you to a certain point. He says, look, my time is over. For whatever reason, okay, my time is over. But from here to another station,
yes,
to another manzil, to another point,
yeah,
this so-and-so is going to take you. Because you hired me, listen to this, you hired me to take me to B, to the destination, to the final destination.
Sure.
But here, this is part of my service to you.
Yes.
I don't do it all the way. Because of whatever, I mean, for the sake of argument, if we say 10,000 of kilometers, this is just, you know, mere talk.
Yes.
But you talk about from here to hereafter is a long way.
Yeah.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you need a guide. So from here, Mr. So-and-so is going to take you.
Yeah.
And from that particular point, somebody else is going to be in charge.
Sure.
Is it possible to say, let's say Jesus, peace be upon him, the holy prophet of God, who happens to be, remember what we said in the previous program?
Sure.
Who happens to be Abd.
Yes, a servant.
Submitted, total submission to God.
Right.
He only says what God told him. You know why they killed prophets?
They didn't like the message.
They didn't like the message. Hey, don't kill me.
They didn't like the destination they were being sent to.
Don't know the expression. Hey, don't kill me. I'm only a messenger.
No, I'm only the messenger.
You know why? Because you cannot kill, brother, you cannot kill the message.
You can't kill the message.
Therefore, you kill the messenger.
You kill the messenger.
You think in your own limited wrong thinking, you think by getting rid of the prophets, you don't have to listen to the rest of it. Hey, do this, do that, because
He's gone.
In the manual, it's a bunch of conditions, it's a bunch of statements, it's a bunch of doings and not doings.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
Do this, don't do that.
Mm.
A religion that doesn't tell you, let me tell you this, because, you know, while we're on the subject.
Yeah, sure, why not?
A religion that doesn't tell you what to do, everybody loves that. Think about what I just said.
Yeah, exactly.
This is why Christianity nowadays, okay, I mean, on the surface, you look at it, look, all I do whatever I please during the day. At the end of the day, I go, you know, we're not on TV to show.
Yeah.
You do the cross.
Yeah.
I say, Lord, have mercy on me.
Yeah.
And that's
do confession.
It.
Do confession.
And you confession.
Yeah.
You go to a priest, you confess. You know, this is a totally different subject.
Yes.
But back to what, because we're talking about sincerity.
Yes.
The purity of intention.
Mm.
If you are pure, if you are purified in the set of your thinking, and you're trying to be sincere about following one particular guy or leader, which you're supposed to.
Yes.
After, is it possible that Jesus, peace be upon him, did not tell the caravan? Listen to me.
Yes, right.
Didn't tell the caravan that from now on, okay? Mm. Because you talk about how many years?
500
some years, okay? The next leader supposed, and he did.
Mm.
And Jesus, peace be upon him, introduced the next leader or the next guy.
Yeah.
Which we believe that is the prophet of Islam.
Dr. Hussain, I think it's worth you mentioning that ayah from the Quran that starts from Hazrat Adam, that I created this man as a representative of myself on earth, that this is, in the Arabic language, a continuous system.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not something that was the earth is absent of.
Mm-hmm. That's true. But I didn't finish the point.
Yeah, yet. But please finish that.
The finishing point is this, okay? If we're... Here, we're just talking about what common sense
says. Yes.
Okay, the purity. If you are purified, that means you are connected to the source.
Yes.
Therefore, your intention is good. Mm. Your intention is okay. It can be. It can provide you all the good things.
Yes.
Because you are connecting to the real source.
Sure.
Therefore, you are sincere because you don't have to lie.
Mm.
And because you truly want to go from A to B without any damage.
Sure.
So on the way, you listen to whoever the guy tells you. You know, my argument is this. If you are sincere, you see yourself limitless. You see yourself powerful because you are connected to the source.
Exactly.
And if you are abandoned in the middle of the way, you're not going to get nowhere.
No, you'll be lost.
The point is this. Like it or not. We can, you know, sit here and argue forever.
Mm.
But we're not trying to, you know, waste our time.
Mm.
Because any argument has to have an aim, a goal. We're trying to reach a point of learning about the truth. You know what truth is? In Arabic, they call it haq.
Haq, yes.
The mere translation, brother, for haq is something constant.
Something stable.
Something is stable.
Mm.
Something you can count on.
On.
Something you can count on.
Right.
Let's start simple.
Right.
Okay? You can count on Allah because He has the power.
Yes.
He has the knowledge.
Mm.
He's wise.
Mm.
Okay? And He doesn't do anything baseless, without any goal, without any aim.
And the point being here, that the guidance, this spirituality, this purity of intention and truth lies with some special people.
Exactly. Now back to the
putting
issue
it
of
into
Imam Khomeini.
Khomeini, because we have to put it into that context.
He was pure. Because he was connected to the source.
Exactly.
And sources, brother, another argument, another debate.
Yes.
Source is not too many.
No.
It's not so many. It's only one.
One.
Because
the principle of Tawheed.
You know, there is a verse in Quran.
Mm.
If there was two gods, most surely you would see the corruption.
Yeah.
Because every god, you know.
Yes, yes.
The assumption is this.
Yes.
God is limitless, okay?
Mm.
God is powerful, and God does whatever He wants, okay? Imagine two gods.
Mm.
He wants to go this way. The other one wants to go that way. That's corruption.
Yeah.
Corruption in true sense, we're talking about. We're going to talk about corruption. It means something that is not is supposed to be on the place and is not.
Let me put it this way, Doctor.
And the place is the source.
Yeah, let me put it this way, Dr. Hasni, that the main thing is, it's not even a question of us even debating the fact that there is one or two gods. The problem is our thinking, our imagination of what we think.
The fantasies we're going
through. The fantasy
of the daydreaming.
The daydreaming of what we think is our existence.
Exactly.
That is the problem, because at the end of the
and
day...
And this
that
is a serious problem for humankind through the history.
Because what I want to get to is the fact that it's not the fact that people don't believe in God. Everybody believes in God.
But you have to prove it with your actions.
No, the thing is that Islam teaches us how to think about
exactly
that God.
The means of
the meaning of that God.
Exactly.
Exactly.
This is what I meant by giving you the example of the caravan and the leader.
Exactly. And this is what Imam Khomeini brings.
Same thing goes with brother. This is very important while we're on the subject.
Yeah.
Same thing goes with the when you talk about the history of Islam, true Islam.
Yes.
We only have one Islam.
Mm.
We don't have so many of them.
Yeah.
The story goes with what happened after Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him.
Yes.
Same thing. Hey, caravan got to that point after 20 years of hardship that Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, went through.
23 years. Yes.
You know, 10 years in Mecca
and
13 years after migration
after
to Medina.
Yes,
after
right.
Hijrah.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Is it feasible?
Mm.
This is my question to you.
Yeah.
I need you to elaborate on this.
Sure.
Because it's not, you know, that I say so.
Mm.
We're talking about reasoning here, logic.
Yes.
Is it feasible to think that at this particular point of the caravan of Muslims at the time, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, brought him to this point and said, hey, after here, you're on your own. Is it feasible to think? This is my question.
No, it's not.
I'd like to hear more from you.
Well, the thing
what
is...
What happened?
Well, I mean, we don't need to go far.
You talk about sincerity in intention.
No, we don't need to go far
you
because...
talk about purity in intention and sincerity.
Yeah, we don't need to go far because the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, even in that 13 years, while he was in Medina, establishing the principles and the foundations of the Tawheed of Islam, he points out two things, two very important things that he keeps emphasizing on. There are so many...
On so many different occasions.
Yeah, occasions.
And in one particular one, in detail, that everything is written about it. And
right.
So many different narrations talking about
it. I mean, the thing is that at the end of the day, we have so many verses in the Quran which refer to this point, that... He says in a tradition that my family, these infallibles, these 12 infallibles, holy infallibles who will follow after me, they are the ship of the Ark of Nuh.
Mm-hmm. This is only example.
This is only
in
example.
Order to think.
You think. But the Quran says, the Holy Quran says, in the after the last khutbah is given in the Hajj, it's given to him as an order that say to them now,
that if you don't do that,
if you don't do this
it's
particular
just like
thing,
you didn't do the whole thing.
You didn't do the whole thing, and I'll save you from the kafirun.
Mm-hmm.
The
I
word
protect
is,
you.
Yeah, I protect
this
you
is
from
what
the.
You talking about source, brother? Mm. Let me tell you this.
Yeah.
What happened after Prophet? Where did they go wrong?
Exactly.
What went wrong? Because they disconnected themselves from the source because of look at the mentality.
Yes.
Because they felt like they don't need it.
Yeah, they felt
the same thing happened with Christianity
and
Jewish faith.
Excuse me, may I make that quote? What does it say in Arabic? They say that the Holy Quran is enough for us.
Hasbunal kitab Allah.
Hasbunal kitab Allah.
Quran is enough for us.
Yeah.
But Quran has to have a teacher, according to the teachings of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him.
Yeah.
This is the story of very good, important subject and significant at the same time. Purity of intention and sincerity. When you're connected to the source, let's summarize it.
Mm-hmm.
Then you see yourself with someone who knows what's going on.
Dr. Hasni, thank you very much for that. And as I say, I hope the listeners have enjoyed our discussion about the great holy personality of Imam Khomeini, God bless him. And there are so many dimensions still to be discussed. We've just scraped the surface. We haven't even done anything yet. But let's carry on in the next session and talk more about
God willing, we'll do
that. With the more aspects of this great personality. But it's enough for me to say at this moment in time, thank you very much for listening.
You are more than welcome.
May the peace and blessings of Allah and mercy be upon you all. Thank you and goodbye.